Please take your Bibles this morning and open to Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. We're actually going to be looking at verses from Exodus 4, 5, 6, and 7, but we're going to start here in chapter 5. I encourage you to have your Bible and keep it open this morning. Exodus chapter 5. I'm just going to read verse 2 to start with. Hope you found your place in your copy of Scripture. Would you please stand for the reading of our sermon text? Exodus chapter 5, verse 2. Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Father, I pray that You would help us to hear Your Word, that You would give us faith to believe and receive it, that we would know You, that we would give our lives to You, that we would obey You, no matter the cost. Father, I pray our hearts would not be hard like Pharaoh's was, but let us be like Moses, who obeyed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Who is the Lord that I should obey Him? That was a question Moses had to wrestle with. You remember Moses had grown up in Pharaoh's house, been raised as a child of Egyptian nobility. But when he came of age, he rejected that way of life. He rejected identification with the Egyptians, and he identified with the Hebrews. And on his own initiative, he tried to deliver his people by killing an Egyptian. And he realized very quickly that was not the way to go. That was a bad choice. And he ran for his life. And for 40 years, he lived in the wilderness. He lived in quiet obscurity until one day, God appeared to him in a burning bush. And God said to Moses, "You will go and you will lead my people." And Moses said, "Me? Well, I think you got the wrong guy here. You need somebody else." And so Moses engaged in this conversation with God, and he had several excuses. "Lord, I don't think you really want me. You should get somebody else." And God says, "No, it's you. I'll be with you. Go." Well, how am I going to prove who you are? And God gives him his name and says, "You can tell the Israelites that I am has sent you." And he says, "Well, what if Pharaoh doesn't believe me? How am I going to prove?" And Moses is given a couple of signs, his shepherd's staff, his able to turn into a serpent. And God says, "I'll give you the power that you need." And Moses says, "Look, Lord, I can't talk very good. I can't speak well. I'm not eloquent. I just can't do this." And the Lord says, "I'll give you Moses. He'll be your spokesman." And finally, Moses says, "Look, can't you just get somebody else to do this? I don't want to." And God says, "You've crossed the line now, Moses. Go or you're in trouble." And Moses says, "Okay." And he goes. Moses comes to know the Lord as his sovereign king, as the one to whom he is to bow to. God is our creator. He is our ruler. We owe him our everything. And when he calls us, our response should be one of humble submission to the Lord. We should say, "Yes, Lord, to your will and to your way." Now, when you set out to obey the Lord as Moses did, you might think that things are going to go well. Sometimes we think that when we do the things that God has called us to, it's just going to go smoothly. But it's pretty surprising for a lot of folks when they find out it's actually pretty rough. It's pretty difficult. John Maxwell once wrote, "If you want to do great things for God, there will always be someone who doesn't want to participate." How true that is. If you want to do God's will, if you want to do the things that God would have you to do, there is someone who is going to oppose you. Someone who is going to discourage you. Someone who's going to challenge you. This morning, as we think about this question, who is the Lord that I should obey Him? And we think about our response. I should obey the Lord. I should do what He wants me to do. Go where He wants me to go. Live how He wants me to live. I want us to consider this morning that you are going to face numerous challenges. I wonder if Moses was surprised. In fact, I think he was surprised. I think he was shocked. He was bewildered to discover that as he faithfully obeyed God, things became more and more difficult. For Moses' life, I think we can look at four challenges that you and I too will face as we seek to do the Lord's will in our lives. First of all, I want you to notice that your commitment to the Lord may be challenged at home. Your commitment to the Lord may be challenged at home. And this is a really surprising challenge to our faith and obedience to the Lord. You know, you may anticipate opposition. You may anticipate obstacles out there. But sometimes the challenges to your faith begins at home with your own family. Look at Exodus chapter 4, verse 24. At a lodging place on the way, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. Now, understand, this is after Moses has said, "Yes to the Lord, I'm going to go with you, I'm going to do what you want me to do." And he starts out heading to Egypt. And he camps, and the Lord is going to kill him. Something is wrong here. Verse 25, Zipporah, his wife, took a flint knife, circumcised her son, and touched Moses' feet with it. "Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me." So the Lord let him alone. At the time she said, "Bridegroom of blood," she was referring to circumcision. Now, maybe you have read through Exodus before, and you're reading the story, and you've come to these three verses, and you're wondering, what in the world is this? This is really bizarre. This is really confusing. So let me try to set the context for you. Moses is a Hebrew, and circumcision is the sign of covenant relationship between the Hebrew people and God. So when Moses was an infant, he was circumcised. Moses had the responsibility to circumcise his children, but he's run away from his people. He's run away from Egypt. He's out in the wilderness, and he has married this woman named Zipporah. She is his wife. And although the Scripture doesn't make it explicit, what seems to have happened is she resists Moses having her children circumcised. She says, "I don't want any part of that. Moses, I'll go so far with you, but that's one thing I'm not going to do." Before Moses could lead the Israelites, Moses had to be fully devoted to the Lord. How could he lead the Israelites into covenant faithfulness with God if he and his own family were not being faithful to the Lord themselves? So the Lord demonstrates just how serious this matter is and is going to kill Moses unless he conforms to God's will for his family. Zipporah, up to this point, had been resistant, but when she realizes just how serious this is, she acquiesces, she submits, but she's not happy about it. This morning, I want you to think about how sometimes in our own homes, we make it difficult for each other to be faithful and obedient to the Lord. Husbands, are you encouraging your wives to be faithful and obedient to God, or are you an impediment to their faith? Wives, are you encouraging your husbands and helping them in their walk with the Lord? Parents, how about your kids? children? What about you? Do you encourage faith in your family? Hey, listen, I know what it's like to have kids at home, and I know how much power you have. I know how you influence your parents. Are you influencing your parents to be moms and dads of faith, of walking with the Lord? You and I are called to be faithful to God, but sometimes we don't have the encouragement and support from our families. We are challenged to obey the Lord by those who are closest to us. This morning, I want to encourage you who are trying to serve the Lord without family support. Don't give up. Don't shrink back. Trust the Lord. Be faithful to Him. Jesus calls us to follow Him. And there will be difficulties along the way. Jesus once said in the Gospels that He came and in His coming, He was bringing a sword of division, even in families. Now, God's plan for families is to bring them together, to hold them together, and husbands and wives are devoted to each other for life, and parents raise their children to love, honor, and serve the Lord, and children honor their parents to honor the Lord. But sometimes you have a believing spouse and an unbelieving spouse, or you have believing grandparents and unbelieving children and grandchildren, and sometimes you even have kids who believe and parents who don't. I want to encourage you to be faithful to God and don't shrink back. Who is the Lord that you should obey Him? He is the Lord over your life and the Lord over your family. Secondly, I want you to notice this morning that your commitment to the Lord will certainly be challenged by a hostile world. That's what we see here in chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1, afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey Him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. I will not let Israel go." Let's get down to verse number 6. That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and overseers in charge of the people. "You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Make the work harder for the people so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies." Pharaoh, who does not know the Lord, thinks he's in charge. You know, it's easy to understand that. I mean, after all, he's Pharaoh and he is the sovereign over Egypt, and his own people believe that he is a god. And, well, Pharaoh, he thought that of himself. He was a god. Pharaoh says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey Him?" Well, he's nothing. I'm in charge here. And that's the way the world answers. That's the attitude of the world. The Lord is nothing. He's nothing. We're gods. We're in charge. We call the shots. And so the world ignores the Lord. And when you try to do the Lord's will, when you try to live for Christ and follow as a faithful disciple, the world gets irritated at you. The world gets riled up by your faithfulness and belief. This week I saw on Twitter a handwritten letter by President Ronald Reagan while he was in the White House to his dying father-in-law. His father-in-law was an atheist. And so President Reagan very lovingly, very gently, yet very clearly wrote out the gospel in a letter to send to his father-in-law. He wrote this and sent it to his father-in-law. He even quoted John 3:16, pleading with his dying father-in-law, "Trust Christ, receive God's love." He affirmed his deep, deep love for his father-in-law and expressed gratitude to him and closed out the letter, encouraging his father-in-law to trust in Christ. Many Christians saw that and were encouraged by that, but Non-Christians saw that as well. They were offended. Some were outraged. One person said, "How hateful you evangelicals are to write something like that to a dying man." That's how the world sees Christians who share the gospel. Oh, you're hateful. You're hateful for sharing the message of Christ. You're hateful for telling people that Jesus died for their sins and apart from them they have no hope, but they need to give their lives to Jesus. The world is hostile, and they will challenge your faithfulness to the Lord. For Pharaoh, he was offended that anyone would dare interrupt his reign, so he bristles and he says, I'm going to turn the screws on these Israelites. I'm going to make it hard for them. Who is the Lord that I should obey Him?" This past week in China, one of the largest house churches, that's a church that's not run and controlled by the state, it was shut down. Officers poured into the gathering of this church. They arrested the church leaders and hauled them away. They took down the names and the information of the believers who were there, and they shuttered that congregation. In China, the powers that be are asking today, who is the Lord that we should obey Him? This is our country. You belong to us. You'll do as we say. The world is hostile to you when you try to live faithfully to the Lord. You are pressured by your culture. You're pressured by your community. You're pressured by your neighbors. You can be a Christian as long as you keep it to yourself. Don't interrupt us, because we don't know the Lord, and we're certainly not going to obey Him. Now, God's allowing Pharaoh to rebel here. God is not surprised by any of this. This is actually part of God's plan. Because Pharaoh asked the question, who is the Lord? And God's going to answer that. God's going to show who He is. But I want to encourage you this morning, if you are feeling the pressure from an unbelieving world today, don't lose heart, don't give up, don't shrink back. The Lord is God, and He rules and He reigns. And though it seems like the powers that be in this world get away with their rebellion, in the end they will not. Continue to resist in spite of the ridicule and the mockery. Are you willing to suffer humiliation in front of the world to be faithful to God? A third way that your commitment to the Lord will be challenged. Your commitment to the Lord will often be challenged by hurting people. Moses shows up in chapter 4, verse 29. He shows up and he says to the people, "The Lord's appeared, and He sent me to you. I'm going to deliver you." And chapter 4, verse 30 says, "When they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped." Sorry, I have the wrong scriptures up there for you, if you're writing those down. Chapter 4, verse 30 and 31 says that the Israelites, they heard, and they were so happy. God cares. You know, when hurting people hear that God cares about them, they are relieved. It's a balm to their soul. But then things get ugly. Look at chapter 5, verse 19. Pharaoh, remember, he's turning the screws. He is making his slaves do more work and making it more difficult without reducing the quota of bricks that they have to produce. Chapter 5, verse 19 says, "The Israelite overseers realized that they were in trouble when they were told, 'You are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day.' When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, 'May the Lord look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hands to kill us.'" They're mad. They're angry at Moses. Moses came and said, "I'm here to lead you to the promised land. The Lord has heard and He cares." And then things get hard. And the Israelites get mad. Now, this is going to become a pattern for Israel. The Israelites can't handle this comfort very well. I would have been a very good Israelite back in the day. I don't handle this comfort very well. I like to be very, very comfortable. In fact, it is so uncomfortable, they want Moses just to leave them alone and say, look, instead of letting it get worse, we'd rather just stay here and stay in slavery. The Hebrew people, they start becoming antagonistic toward Moses. We're hurting. Just leave us alone. Here's an important principle I want you to understand this morning. Disorientation occurs when our experience in life doesn't match our faith-based expectations. Let me say that to you again. Disorientation occurs when our experience in life doesn't match our faith-based expectations. When you expect God to do one thing and it doesn't work out the way you want it to, all of a sudden, instead of continuing to trust God, our impulse is to pull back away from God. Maybe you feel like these Israelites. Instead of things getting better, they're starting to get worse for you. Instead of things going smoothly, they are getting much more challenging. Dear friends, continue to trust in the Lord. When you are hurting, it's easy to start to turn away from God and try to find substitute relief. You can't do that. Maybe you've had a splinter before. Not one of those little ones, but one of those big nasty ones. And you know, you get one of these splinters and it hurts and it's tender and you want it gone, but then all of a sudden you got to pull it out. And that hurts worse than the splinter. Have you ever had that before? Maybe you've been in a situation where you need surgery. You've been hurting and you've been in pain. I talked to some folks who've had knee surgery. And after they go through, they say, I want this. I want to go through this. And then they go through it. It's like, oh, I regret this. In the Christian life, that's the way it often works. It gets harder before it gets easier. It's more painful before the release comes. And pain will discourage you from trusting the Lord. Who is the Lord that I should obey Him when things get hard? And they get harder. He's the God who's accomplishing good things for your life. Trust Him. Number four, if you're going to follow the Lord, your commitment to the Lord will be surprisingly challenged by your own doubting heart. And that ought to be clear at this point for us. Chapter 5, verse 22, Moses returned to the Lord and said, why, Lord, have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people. And you have not rescued your people at all. Moses is doubting. He's uncertain. He's confused. Fears and uncertainties are not uncommon in the Christian life. In fact, I think a lot of our Christian lives are filled with uncertainties. I think that's pretty normal. If you come to me and you say, oh, I've never had any doubts in my Christian life at all, I don't believe you. I think you're a liar. Or you've not really experienced the Christian life. It's hard. It's difficult. You give yourself to the Lord. You commit yourself to Him to walk with Him in faith and obedience. And things don't always work out the way that we expect them to. What do you do in that case? Don't turn away from the Lord. Don't give up. Follow Paul's instructions in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. It says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. Stand firm. Be courageous. Be strong. That's what we have to do in the Christian life. Is it worth giving your whole self to the Lord? Yes, it is. Friends, that's the only way to live. But it is hard. It is difficult. It is challenging. But the promised land is ahead, and the Lord is accomplishing a good purpose in your life. In fact, God is doing something bigger in you and with you than you can often see and understand. Why is God letting the Israelites go through this trial? Why is God letting Moses watch his people suffer like this? Why is God doing these things? Flip a page to Exodus chapter 6. Verse 28. Now when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said to him, I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you. But Moses said to the Lord, since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me? Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you. And your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of this country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And though I multiply my signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt. And with mighty acts of judgment, I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. What was God doing in Moses' life? Why did God let Moses experience these difficulties and challenges? To show the Egyptians that he was God. And friends, when you remain faithful to the Lord through the challenges and the difficulties, you answer the question, who is the Lord that I should obey Him, to the watching world, to people who are observing your life. You answer through your faithfulness, He is the one who is worthy of all that I am and all that I have. He is the Lord, and I will serve Him and worship Him. When your faith is tested and your commitment to the Lord is tested, how will you respond? What will you say? Who is the Lord that I should obey Him? Isaiah 41:13 answers, I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Will you trust the Lord today, no matter what you're facing? Let's pray. Our Father and God, this morning we confess that living the Christian life is not easy. It is difficult. But there's no other life worth living. So when we face trials and challenges to our faith, give us the strength to be faithful. Help us to prove in our lives that You are the Lord. You alone are worthy of all that we are and all that we have. Help us to be Your faithful witnesses by the testimony of our lives. And Father, this morning I pray that if there is someone here today who is not a Christian, that they would hear the Word, that they would trust, and they would believe. In Jesus' name, amen.